time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Where's Rossi? Rossi, we need an interview. Come on. We'll talk on the pot. We'll talk on the plane. We'll stop Detroit to Louisville. You got to fly right over Indianapolis. I know you like a spot there.
SI's Ross Gellinger.
And I was on the phone earlier with an unnamed administrator who said, "We all know you order the Uber and Lyft a block away from the strip club, not from the strip club."
And SI's Pat Forty.
The Dion effect is real and it's spectacular. I mean, I am blown away just by the amount of energy and enthusiasm from the fans, from recruits, and everything else. And all he's got to do is actually produce.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Hi, welcome to the pod. And we'll start with one of our ongoing and most intriguing stories. Coach Prime, Boulder, Colorado. Spring game is Saturday. Folsom Field sold out over a month ago. Sold out. It's only 45,000 because they're not using like some luxury boxes and some entertainment areas, but sold out. They probably could have gotten who knows what. Last year, they had 1,800 people at the game.
Yeah.
Previous high was in 1990. 1990 spring game.
The year they won the championship, right?
Yep. They were a very good program then at that time.
Well, a rocking 17,800 came out that day.
Yep.
So, Coach Prime, the Coach Prime effect. There are going to be celebrities there, football legends, as you would imagine. ESPN is broadcasting live. I think Chris Fowler's doing the game.
Colorado alum.
Colorado alum. Like, we're sending the A team here.
Yeah.
A ridiculous number of recruits. like 10 top 250 recruits there. Two top five recruits.
Wow.
Colin Simmons and Williams Nwaneri, I believe is how you say his name, from St. Louis, Lee Summit, Missouri. Lee Summit, where is that? Is that in
that's
Missouri. St. Louis, right?
Yeah, that's the Kansas City side.
No, Kansas City. I'm sorry. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I got it wrong. Yeah. Third and fourth in the rankings. Two defensive ends.
Mm.
Two top five recruits at the Colorado spring game.
Wow.
Absolute fanfare, excitement. Yeah, I don't think you can throw it any bigger than this. I don't know. Pat, you are a Colorado, raised in Colorado. Can you believe it?
Born and raised in, no. I would never, ever in my mind could have imagined a sold-out Colorado spring game. I mean, I'm surprised when you said 17,000 in 1990. That's a lot. It's just, it is not a place that's hardwired for football like Columbus, Ohio, and Tuscaloosa, and, you know, so on and so on. And so to get a sellout for a spring game, and by the way, we'll see if everybody shows up. I just checked. Because there is no real spring in terms of weather in Colorado. I mean, it is a total crapshoot. So it's a high of 41 and a low of 25 on Saturday.
Ooh, that's not helping them.
Sunny, though, probably.
Cloudy. According to the forecast. And now the forecast will change three times before Saturday gets here. But still, like, that's the Dion effect is real and it's spectacular. I mean, I am blown away just by the amount of energy and enthusiasm from the fans, from recruits, and everything else. And all he's got to do is actually produce.
Yeah, this is what this is why you hire Dion, or certainly one of the reasons why you hire Dion. And I know we talked about it on the show before, but it's a trend. You see athletic directors in search firms and stuff zeroing in on guys not only anymore because of their football acumen and even their record, but it's about getting butts in seats. It's about making money. This is a business now, and they're finally starting to come around to acknowledge that the football and basketball part of it is a business, and you need money to run a business, and old Dion certainly brings that in.
full day of stuff too. They got like a volleyball scrimmage. They got a soccer game against Nebraska, which I think is a women's soccer game. I don't know. That women's soccer is usually in the fall.
I think you can play. You can do like a spring scrimmage. They can do that in some of these.
So they're doing that also. I don't know if that's out on the. Is that out on the field or is that somewhere else? That'd be kind of cool because by the end of that soccer game, you'd have 30, 40, you know, almost everybody there. Yeah. Just a big day. My thing with Colorado, Ross, have you been to Boulder, Colorado?
I have not.
Okay. Well, Pat and I have been there, and you get there. And the reason, if you've never been there, it's fantastic. It's just one of the most beautiful towns in the country. The Flatirons or the mountains are like you're standing on Colorado. The reason only 17,000 have ever gone is because it was a nice spring day and you're in Boulder. You say, I'm going to go walk up that mountain.
Right.
I'm not going to waste my time going to that. I don't care who's playing. Maybe the Broncos could have filled the place, but there's so much to do. Rocky Mountain National Park is like an hour away. An hour, 15 drive up the hill. But the mountains start right on the edge of campus. So it's one of these spectacular places. It's a beautiful downtown. And they have all these, kind of wild, like zoning laws to keep they keep sprawl down. So there's all this empty space outside of Boulder. So it's a unique city, but it's a beautiful place. And it's always been like you get there and you go, gosh, what an incredible place to go to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think with football, it's always been like, boy, if somebody got here and could get all these people out and look, and some of these recruits are going to get there and go, it would be better if it was 65 and sunny, but that's usually is there. It really isn't get that bad. The weather's usually pretty nice. And just sat there and said, why not here? Right. Like, why not here? And I think that's always been the thing with Colorado. Problem is you got the top five recruits, you got to fly in from Texas and Missouri. They aren't coming. Yeah. They aren't driving 45 minutes over with their dad. That's right. And that's the problem. How do you get those recruits? Well, here it is. Like, this is it. This is the best shot Colorado's ever going to have is right now with Deion Sanders.
Sure is. Yeah. No, this is absolutely a strike while the iron is hot situation. And it is one of those places you just feel like, get them on campus, you're going to win some battles. I just looked it up. It has a really high out-of-state enrollment, 43%, because if it works for regular students, it probably works for football and basketball players, too. You get out there and you're like, oh, my gosh, I want to go to school here. This is awesome. So they've just needed something. They've needed a football program to sell. They've needed some fervor to sell, and I think they can put on a heck of a show here Saturday, and it might translate into some quick recruiting gains.
Yeah, pictures of you're talking about Boulder making me want to go to Boulder. But yeah, if I'm in Boulder and it's just this beautiful place, yeah, I want to go to the mountain or go skiing or something. But I've seen just pictures of Boulder, and they are stunning. One day maybe I can get out there. But yeah, it's funny that I can't remember a coaching hire where that is. Created more hype in off season number one than this one. Like I can't maybe go back to Nick Saban at Alabama. That was like the only one. The closest one I can remember. Obviously, I think Nick Saban delivered probably on the hype. I guess you could say that maybe. But will Deion deliver? Yeah, we'll.
For Colorado, the stakes were so low. What's delivering? Like, honestly, the guy goes 7-5 a couple times, and he's technically delivered.
Yeah. I mean, I think
but
that
he's not here to go 7-5. There's no I'm not lowering the bar.
Right. I think being in contention at least by year two or three, but at the rate he turned over the roster, some might say, hey, they should be in contention this year, especially in a new Pac-12, if the Pac-12, remains together. But in a new Pac-12 without USC and UCLA, gosh, you would think that Colorado should be a contender for the league championship, certainly every other year. I would think that's the expectation level.
Yeah, I think this is great. I think he, you know, we'll see. But just we'll see what they do next year. I mean, they're coming off a bad team. He still has like he's over rostered right now, and he still wants to work the board. Also, he's still got some more guys to run off because he's bringing his Louis with him, his Louis Vuitton luggage. It was funny. I was in Italy. We were going around the shopping district, and we went into Louis Vuitton to look around. Trust me. And I looked at the luggage. And it just so random. And I was like, it was like $9,000 for this bag.
$9,000
It wasn't even their best one. Like if I didn't.
If you were a good dad, you would have bought that for your.
Yeah,
dad.
Sure. I was like, oh, Coach Prime. I get it now. Like I figured Louis and it was so expensive that I looked at the tag and I like let go of it. Like it was a hot iron. Like don't break the luggage.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a $9,000 bag.
Holy moly.
It wasn't like it was not their best item either. So,
really?
Yeah.
I've never shopped at a Louis store. I admit.
Yeah. Go check it out. Probably don't have a ton of them in Kentucky. Do they have a Louis Vuitton in Kentucky?
I have no idea.
No, go to Rome. Yeah, they got them in the big city.
Oh, the Rome Louis Vuitton. Look at you.
Yeah, that was some serious Louis Vuitton there. Coach Prime would have been proud, although I was not dropping 9 G's on a little handbag. No. I hope he takes him by this. I hope Coach Prime knows about this guy. Pat, have you ever seen this guy in Boulder? I was there a couple years ago. My nephew Chris Wetzel is a firefighter out in that area, and we went and visited him. And in Boulder, they have this what's the big street there? Pearl Street, I think
Pearl
it's called.
Street. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Pearl it's Street. Like a big outdoor shopping market. It's an absolutely great city.
Yeah.
As Coach Prime said at the Super Bowl when I saw him, it was 3 weeks and I didn't see a single police officer. He didn't see the cops for 3 weeks. That's how nice the town is. They don't need cops. Interesting perspective. So they have this outdoor thing and you can shop and it's like an outdoor mall and there's restaurants. Everyone goes there. It's a big popular place. And they have like, you know, guys like I'm juggling for money or whatever, the little street performers. Yeah. So they have this guy, and I just looked up his name. I did not know his name, but he's known as the zip code guy.
What?
People will know what I'm talking about. The zip code man. You can say your zip code to him, whatever zip code you're in, and he will tell you what town it is.
Wow.
Or you can say the town, and he'll tell you. Well, yeah, he's got to be the zip code to the town. That's right. Because like if you just take New York City, well, you know, hell, there's 1,000 zip codes or something. I don't know. He's memorized 35,000 zip codes. And he just stands there. His name is David Rostichler, I guess, according to this.
Okay.
He just sits there all day and makes money throwing zip codes at him. And it'll just be
Boulder's Rain Man, huh?
Yeah. And people and so we stood there, and I mean, people are there from all over. And they're like, you know, I'm from a small town in Montana. Like, how the hell did he get it? Or like, you know, what? Just all these, they're trying to trip him up and they couldn't. So I hope he brings them to the zip code man.
Yeah. You should bring every recruit to buy. Yeah.
He'll know.
What a skill.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
I mean, think about this. If you had that talent and you're just like, that's my living. Like, I memorized 35,000 zip codes. And now on good days, I go out, sit on Pearl Street for like 5 hours, rack in $2 a shot. Report like half of it
at best,
and that's your living. Go down to the dispensary after that and enjoy your night.
I was gonna say that the reason Dion didn't see any cops for 3 weeks is because they've legalized marijuana, so they don't have anything, they don't have that much to do. There's not a heck of a lot else going on Pearl Street other than that.
It's chill. It's very chill.
Yeah.
As my nephew's firefighter, you know, first responder, right? So you see it all. He said pre-legalized weed and post. He's like, you'll always take the high guy over the drunk guy when you're showing up.
I'm sure. Yeah.
He's like, not even close. It's like, did you notice anything different? He's like, yeah, it's been much better. Like apartment could be half on fire and the dude's just sitting there. But at least they're not yelling at you or smashing
trying
things.
To fight you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's up, man? Looks like the kitchen's on fire. All right, we'll take care of that. Anyway,
you guys got any snacks?
I thought I called pizza. I called the 911. Anyway, big game for Coach Prime. I'm excited for the Colorado fans,
for sure,
who finally have something to go with here. All right, it is Wednesday the 19th. And South Carolina picked up verbal commitments from two players from Springdale, Maryland. Braden Lee, defensive back, and Mike Williams, a offensive lineman, giving them 10 commits now. They're ranked seventh overall in Rivals, fifth by 24/7. And they, if you look at the top 10 of the rankings, you know, usually remember some, like Texas Tech was like number one, and like sometimes someone will jump the gun and get way out ahead.
Right.
Not really the case this year. Ohio State's one, Georgia, Michigan, LSU, South Carolina, Florida State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Florida, right? Oregon, pretty normal, except for South Carolina, of course. So they have 10 commits. They're ranked fifth. Eight of them are four stars. They have five of the top seven, the top three players in the state of South Carolina are committed to South Carolina, not Clemson. Five of the top seven are committed to South Carolina, not Clemson. Now, Clemson, Clemson's recruiting will be interesting. I'm not certainly going to rule them out. They are still involved with seven top 100 players nationally. They are certainly a national program at this point. I expect Coach William Christopher Sweeney to hold it together and do pretty well. And again, it's early. I said like Alabama was not on that list. I looked, Alabama is in the running for 18 top 100 players still.
Yeah.
And they already have five.
Sure.
Yeah. They already have like two fives. They'll be fine. But three from the top three in state, five of their recruits are top 250 players. Shane Beamer's program is making noise. Now it is an uphill climb in the SEC, and it only gets steeper at the top. But considering they beat Clemson, Tennessee to end their season last year, had a pretty good showing in the bowl game against Notre Dame. Incredible momentum continues for the Cock Commanders, right, Ross?
Yeah, indeed, man. It's we talked about Shane Beamer a lot this fall in the stretch they went on late last season. How impressive it was, and how it kind of, I think, blew away people even really close to the program did not expect them to do what they did. And boy, has that carried over to the recruiting class. That's amazing. And you do wonder, you know, as on the field they took down Clemson and broke that skid, and you know, we hear a lot about how rivalry games can, you know, sway recruits and impact recruiting. Sometimes you don't really see that tangibly, but man, maybe we're seeing it now. It's incredibly impressive. But anybody who probably been around Shane Beamer, you know, you probably could see why he's a good recruiter, right? He's really affable and outgoing, and you know, he very quickly warms up to you, people person, and man, they've got it going on.
Yeah, and you know what, he doesn't mind really like having fun and putting on a show with the recruits either.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, some of the videos and stuff, I mean, you know, he is bringing that sort of relatable energy to young people. I think it's really helping. And it's interesting, Ross, like you named off the in-state battles and everything, but it's curious, these guys they got from Maryland. I was looking here. You know, cool. South Carolina starts moving up the coast, up north, DMV, that's trouble for some other schools. And you look, this guy, the Braden Lee, the four-star cornerback, he took three unofficials to Maryland. He took an unofficial to North Carolina, North Carolina State. He took an unofficial to Ohio State. He went to Pittsburgh twice, went to West Virginia, went to Florida, and he chose South Carolina. That's pretty significant, I think, if you're able to go up, get into the DMV, and get somebody that apparently was wanted by a lot of the schools that are closer to him. Shane Beamer's got it going on.
Well, they got Nicholas Harbor, the just ridiculous athlete from Washington. Yeah. Remember we watched him run track?
Yes.
He's 6'5", 225, and runs the 100. Wow. He looks like Usain Bolt, but with him.
Towers over, everybody.
Yeah, incredible athlete. He's from Archbishop Carroll in D.C. And then they got into DeMatha Catholic. They're all over Maryland. And if you think about it, who made it a lot of money off of DMV players? Shane Beamer's dad.
For sure.
The old Beamer name going back into Virginia Tech territory.
Yeah. I don't know if Tidewater master, Frank Beamer. Yeah.
Now, the Tidewater, he crushed, but he also, if you're Virginia Tech, you're recruiting the DMV. I have not seen a ton of kids from the Tidewater go to South Carolina yet, but there's another one that if there is that kind of old, family pull, right? It's like Bob, it's like Danny Hurley recruiting North Jersey right now in basketball, right? Yeah. Like it's just, you're just a gold standard of a name and those long standing relationships. I wonder how much that's playing a role in what he can do, but that is something the Beamer family has those two areas won Virginia Tech an awful lot of games and a lot of good players that he's crushing it from those areas. So it's amazing they can flip it on Clemson. Now Clemson, again, they'll go get some guys.
Oh yeah.
But you look at these top 100 kids from in state, these are O linemen. Like you never want to lose on O linemen in state, like any big guy. And they all grew up. I mean, I know he won a couple months ago, but they grew up with Clemson dominating.
Yep.
And all the hoopla on Clemson, and you just wonder what is going on with Clemson. I know I joke and call William Christopher Sweeney young Boeheim with his constant complaining, but that is still is done in with love, because in terms of sitting across from a guy who is one of the most charismatic and just kind of pull you in people I've ever met, it's Dabo Sweeney. I mean, sit one-on-one with that guy and I'm ready to sign up, and then you can go down the slide and play mini golf at his little facility. So it's all fun and games. But Beamer's, they're beating him head up on some kids, and that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Tell you what, just real quick note on the verbals that they have, that South Carolina has. They have 3-6-7 offensive linemen so far.
Verbal. Wow.
Jeez. I don't know if they can all play, but they're big. They're long. That's for sure.
Jeez. Yeah. Getting some guys. They're getting some guys. Dylan Raiola, son of Dominic Raiola, great NFL player in Nebraska. He is rumored to be close to his commitment. How about that? Mm. We're down to rumors.
Rumors
possible.
Maybe. Yeah.
Non-binding verbal commitments.
Crystal ball, getting close to the old crystal ball.
the crystal ball. No, I'll give you a hint on this. One of the reasons that the recruiting community is all fired up is because some crystal balls have flipped to it's the receiver. It's Ryan Wingo, who is a receiver in St. Louis, who is apparently going to go to school with Dylan.
Mm.
And his crystal balls flipped to Georgia, which makes everyone think.
So now that, we have domino effect crystal balls.
The crystal balls are dominoing. Here's the thing. Yeah. Mock it all you want, but these guys are usually right. They're not usually wrong. Call it whatever you want. So he was originally committed to Ohio State, backed out of that last spring. It's seemingly been a USC, Nebraska, and Georgia situation. His dad is a legend at Nebraska. His uncle is coaching up there at Nebraska. I think he's made more than one trip, pretty high profile, had the entire basketball stadium chanting his name, obviously would be an enormous, enormous recruit for Nebraska. He'd be an enormous recruit for anybody, but I'm pretty sure Georgia will get somebody good. But yeah. When you're Nebraska, you only have a few. USC will get another quarterback. They already got quarterbacks. Thoughts on this, and is this a blow to Nebraska, or is it just like, man, the fact we were even in this is kind of dumb luck anyway? But you know, what would this mean to Nebraska if he actually goes to Georgia, Pat?
Yeah, you have to capitalize when dumb luck presents itself, and I think this would be a blow for Nebraska if you don't get him with the legacy there. And you did get him to decommit. For some reason, he decommitted from from Ohio State. And so you're right there in the mix. Put a lot of, you know, energy and resources into getting him. And as you said, these are two other programs that's like, they fall out of bed and can find a quarterback. Nebraska, not so much. And I just think it would be a huge cornerstone for Matt Rhule to begin the building to get Dominic Raiola.
Yeah, you not even just had the legacy with the program, but hey, you have a new coach who there's a lot of buzz around him, a lot of hype and a lot of excitement, and you know, plain and simple, you need signees like this to kind of turn around a program. In a lot of ways, these you know, big quarterbacks like this, big prospects like this, are needed to start to kind of right the ship and turn around the program. You got to win on the recruiting trail, as they say, before you win on the field. So this would be quite the blow, especially because of what Pat's talking about. You know, these programs can go out and get another one. And Nebraska has this connection to this one. And so this would be quite a blow, I would think. And, you know, Nebraska would have to, I guess, move on to the backup options.
Yeah, they let an in-state quarterback he did not commit, and I'm forgetting his name, and I'm not going to bore the YouTube audience with me looking it up. I don't know that this is an opportunity. I can't call it a real – it is an incredible opportunity for Nebraska that really – I mean, this would have been kaboom, right? Matt Rhule – number one recruit in the country, all of that. However, it's still just an uphill fight at this point for Nebraska to get the number one player in the country, especially. And it just shows how hard it is to get those top guys. Because the thing with, if you're a quarterback, particularly if you're Dylan Raiola, and your family knows football, knows the NFL, knows everything, you're sitting there saying, look, I am 3 years away from being the number one pick in the draft. And I am like 7 years away from a $500 million contract or something. Like, I'm 7 years from like, forget it. And so you have, it's so important to go to the right place. Like, you have so much to lose. This can't be an emotional decision. It has to be what will get me there, because there's just so much potential. And that shows how hard is that. If there was ever anyone that could trust, it's your uncle's going to be there. NFL coach is going to be there, right? It's your dad's alma mater. It's not like playing in the Big Ten is some bad thing. But at the end of the day, and I'm guessing this is not too much of an emotional decision, it's if I go to Georgia, I'm going to be surrounded by the best talent, and this is the thing. So just shows how hard it is to get that guy and make that leap. But I feel like for Nebraska, it's a frustrating blow, but you know, if it wasn't for circumstance, they'd never be involved with the number one recruit in the country from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, if this kid lived in Omaha, then that hurts. Yeah. But you know, he doesn't. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll get back on it. I mean, look, we made a big deal about Arch, and now everyone says Arch stinks. So yeah.
Now Arch is a third stringer.
Third stringer. All because he—that's Art should have just stayed in high school. He should have just been like,
right. I mean, he'd be at the Isadore Newman prom this weekend. You know,
yeah, he's doing fine down there in New Orleans. Instead, he's getting bashed on the Texas Longhorn.
A spring game.
Yeah, spring game.
Dude's lost his ID around camp. He's a freshman. Struggling. Interesting story out of Illinois State.
This is
our kind of story.
Yeah.
It's our kind of story. Illinois State Athletic Director Kyle Brennan had to resign after questions emerged from WGLT television or radio. I think it's a radio station. Investigative radio. I like it. About elaborate spending on a donor trip to Indianapolis. So here's the deal. Okay. Brennan gets this guy, Aaron Rossi, who his company made he had a COVID testing company. And so, you know, needless to say, made a fortune when yep. COVID hit, coincidentally. I guess he was testing something else before COVID, but whatever. So he is working over Rossi, the booster, to make a big donation to Illinois State. And at the last minute, they decide they want to go to the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. And so at the last minute, they fly on one of Rossi's planes. And then Brennan, the AD, actually, this is 2 years ago. It's 2 years ago's title game, Michigan and Iowa. Brennan buys 9 100 level club game tickets on StubHub the day of the game. The tickets cost.
And it's Michigan's first Big Ten title game? You think the demand wasn't through the roof?
Nine tickets cost $18,754. He submitted the expense as donor stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they go to the game. I seems like business. They fly over on Rossi's jet. So get free. You're not paying commercial flights.
Rossi can't afford to buy his own tickets. He's got a private jet.
He's got a jet, but the school buys the tickets. I don't know. They take Uber and Lyfts into downtown Indianapolis for the game. And then there was one other stop after the game. The infamous Red Garter Gentlemen's Club. In downtown. If you're familiar with Lucas Oil Stadium, I've heard it's just around the corner. I've heard it's just around the corner.
I've heard that too.
Close. I've heard close to pod favorite, the Slippery Noodle Inn.
Which is
just a bar, just the oldest bar in Indianapolis. So
used to be a whorehouse.
The Slippery Noodle Inn?
Yeah.
There is that. Yeah, as
probably
well.
used to be a whorehouse back in the day. Yeah.
It's been pretty much everything. There's bullets in the wall still.
Yeah. Great place.
It's romantic place. Back then. Now it's not funny. Anyway, the old Red Garter seems to have gotten the boys in some trouble. So they took the lifts back to the
lift was to and from the strip club, right? Which is a big notation in this, right? Is he ordered the Uber and the Lyft to the strip club, and then ordered the Uber and the Lyft from the strip club.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone earlier with an unnamed administrator who said, "We all know you order the Uber and Lyft a block away from the strip club, not from the strip club."
Come on now.
Classic.
If you're turning in that expense, yeah. Let's think appears, about it.
They did not seem to submit any receipts from the strip club, right? Gentlemen's club. Gentlemen's club. Let's put some respect on the Red Garter.
That might have been pushing a bad idea a little bit too far if you turned in receipts.
They had 8 rooms at the Hampton Inn in Avon. This is such a weird deal. Like, this guy's got a private jet, but at the Hampton Inn?
Well, first of all, there ain't no place to stay when Michigan comes to the Big Ten title game.
That's true.
Decided on the spur of the moment. But here's the other thing. Bloomington, Illinois, I just looked it up, is 170 miles from Indianapolis. That's a 2.5 hour drive, maybe three. And you take a private jet?
I mean, the PJ, baby.
A little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is big.
Come on, Pat, in a PJ, get there in like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
They should have just flown home that night, although who knows what was in the in or out of the lift.
So you can have, yeah, that's true. You can take the PJ. You have plenty of time for Mr. Red Gardner and his ladies of the night.
I don't know what happened. They left the next day at 9 a.m. Okay. And flew it. So anyway, this is the thing. The WGLT was fired up. Now, you know, not coincidentally, Rossi then less than 2 months after the trip, he pledges $3 million to ISU's new indoor practice facility.
Oh, convenient.
So this is good business as I see it.
A successful trip. Yeah. Successful
and I don't really get the whole problem. There is problems, of course. 3 weeks after that, Rossi was indicted on federal tax fraud charges.
Oops.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And a judge has restricted his ability to spend money. So this guy's kicking around, makes a fortune because COVID hits and goes wild and ends up like pledging to build ISU a new building while in the champagne room. I don't know. That might be what they're alluding to. I don't know what happened. But so we don't know if ISU got the money or not, but now Kyle Brennan has to resign. You know, People's Court. Where's the problem here? Screw you, WGLT.
Sticking your nose into our fundraising business. You know, that's the fine line, I guess you walk is you can't just necessarily take money from everyone. Because there might be some potential strings attached as who's giving the money and what's their background. And, oh, yeah, they have problems with
you could. It's not his fault. He didn't know he was going to get indicted.
Also, but I would think the expense report may get flagged for a variety of reasons. Number one, he spent $18,000 on tickets. Number two, again, I believe that they were able to find out, you know, that he went to the strip club because he ordered the Uber Lyft from into the strip club exactly like a dummy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but if you secure a $3 million donation, I mean, this is Illinois State. I don't think there's a whole bunch of people walking around just throwing $3 million at you.
Hmm? No.
Do you really care if you spent $18,000 on that?
No, I mean, that's a good return on investment, frankly.
And, you know,
return on investment. But
maybe you could have lifted to somewhere more wholesome. But what is Illinois State? What are they, the purity police? What is this?
If the money came through, it would be a great investment. But I don't, they're stuck, right? Aren't they stuck? No money. No money coming to
now they get no money and they're fired their AD.
Oh. No money, fired their AD, and they're out $23,000 for this trip. I will say this, general rule of thumb for the Illinois States of the world, the Missouri Valley Conference kind of schools, if we're talking about you on this podcast, it's not good.
Very true. Very true.
Unless it's the first round of the NCAA tournament and you've just pulled a 13 over a 4 upset, you don't want to be on this podcast if you're Illinois State.
Nope.
Illinois State statement. While donor cultivation activities are an integral part of building and maintaining donor relations, they're expected to be fiscally responsible, reasonable and responsible, and to be consistent with the university's missions and values. These practices are continually under review. The university's been made aware the spending for some cultivation activities appear to be inconsistent with the university's missions and values. All they did was take a ride there.
Yeah, that's all.
This is garbage.
Free Kyle Brennan.
When Kyle Brennan, I don't know you, but I'm going to say this. When you sue for wrongful termination, I will be a character witness.
There we go.
How about the guy that's like, okay, it's the day of the Michigan-Iowa game going, all right, I got 9 tickets here. What is the most ridiculous amount I can possibly throw out here? That's how about $2,000, like $2,100 a ticket? No one will pay that. No one will pay that. And here's this desperate dude
on StubHub
over in Illinois. Go, I got this shady COVID-19 testing guy. Wants to watch some football and go to the Red Garter. I got to get this done.
I'll pay it. But that, like, 9 tickets? Who are all these people? Who's in the posse?
I don't believe anyone wants to know. There ain't anybody saying
PJ
now.
Yeah.
They're not volunteering now to say they were there. Mm. Pat, I heard, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about your grill getting run over.
Mm. Yes.
In a tragic accident where your it's like a ceramic, one of those ceramic grills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it got busted. Has there been a resolution? I'm hearing rumors of some update.
Yeah, we're working towards a resolution. Very, very exciting progress being made here. You know, people was helping it, people. And the pod is helping. Okay? I owe it to the pod and pod listener Drew Diener in Louisville, who's a local radio host and an enthusiastic pod listener who's contacted me and put me in touch with his high school classmate, Gunnar Graven, at Steepleton Billiards, who sells green eggs. And now, people helping people, I'm closing in on a deal for a replacement grill. It's very exciting times.
And, was I tricked into doing a segment that might help you get a free grill or something?
No.
I'm putting you under. This is ISU. You'd be fired.
No, return on investment.
We're going to talk about the values and principles of a core beliefs of the pod.
Yeah, the mission and values. I believe this is 100% in line with the mission and values.
That is true. Anyone wants to send us all grills, we all like cooking.
This is a team effort.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, what happened to the team? Is your game?
This is NIL. This is a wild, wild west right now. One put a quarterback over here, is getting a new grill. And the receiver and the linebacker over here, we don't get what's going on with that.
I think
just like CJ Stroud brought over all of his teammates to and paid and grilled for them. I will do that for you all. I will issue you an engraved invitation.
Okay.
Let me
fly to Louisville. That's
get
right.
Get that Rossi guy's private jet. Come on.
Oh yeah.
Where's Rossi? Uh-huh. Rossi, we need an interview. Come on. We'll talk on the plane. We'll stop Detroit to Louisville. You got to fly right over Indianapolis. I know you like a spot there. I know your
Make
favorite
quick
spot.
Stop.
Quick stop. Quick stop. Mm-hmm. Quick stop. We'll take the Uber to the Slippery Noodle, then walk around the corner there. Come on. Not. All right. Well, good luck with that. I thought there'd be more to it than just some you sucking up to somebody.
No, I mean we're working towards. We're coming together here. People,
if you have
people,
products that you'd like us to pitch on this show and send us freebies, we're. No one's gonna say no. No one's gonna say no.
That's right.
Especially That's right. Girl. Bad boy mowers. I'm talking to you. How many times have I praised those guys? I haven't seen
a
thing.
That's. Like, your mower is like my grill, right? It's one of your closest friends.
It is. I like my grill, too. I'm an old school Weber. I have an old Weber. I like it.
Yeah.
The challenge.
Hey, yeah, the old Weber gets it done.
Gets it done. Not easy, though. It's just the temps can go crazy, but it's all right. Yeah. I got the skill for it.
I have the old Weber, too. That's what I use. I use the just old, like, one level circle.
Yep.
Weber, man. Circle. It's amazing. Yep. I could turn it into a smoker, too. I don't need no green egg, Pat. Get out of here with your green egg.
I'm not going to say I don't need one. I don't, I mean, let's not
be careful what you're saying here, Ross. Don't undersell yourself.
I mean, I like my car. I don't need, a Mercedes, but, I'm not going to say one showed up. Yeah, that'd be it. We also got enormous feedback on our on our what is it? Our airplane.
Train.
Or no, train talk. Train talk. Train. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
People are behind us on this. We're going to start the movement to get the trains, including, I want to give this guy proper credit. Dominic is our sent us this story that appeared Tuesday at 10:39 p.m. So our pod comes out Monday. Tuesday night, CNN, no less than CNN, comes out with a story about high-speed trains are racing across the world, but not in America. So clearly, the influencer status of this podcast
continues. Yeah, absolutely.
And their belief, they go through how, you know, absolutely moronic it all is. China has built 26,000 miles of high-speed railway since 2008, and 43,000 more are coming.
Wow.
The U.S. has 375 miles. Oh.
Where is it all in the Northeast?
Yes, and they still can't real. They can get up to 200, but they actually only get up to like 160 in bursts. But the story, so their belief, nobody cares. There's no, we need to, it's going to be a grassroots movement. The airline, road construction, and auto industries have choked out Washington.
Yeah.
So nobody cares about the trains. And they've somehow cast the trains as this needy, you know, it's like a, they need, it, you know, it needs to be, it's like socialism or something. It's like it needs to be funded by the government, which I know there's many private interstates in this. Those airports, who the hell builds the airports? But it's a very good story. It's very interesting. But the main problem is nobody even knows about high-speed trains because, like, I generally get to go to Olympics and World Cups and stuff. That's how I learned about them. Like, you're in South Korea and you find out you can, instead of driving for 5 hours, you can get on a train for an hour 15 and you go, well, that doesn't seem humanly possible. And then it's like, no, that actually works. They are building, supposedly, a $10 billion high-speed rail between Los Angeles and Las Vegas.
Ooh, holy cow, that'll be popular.
Yeah, and this, I think we got to get people to see this. And once it gets going in one part of the country, everyone else will really want to get rolling on it. And now it's in like Rancho Cucamonga, which is out kind of in the Inland Valley. But you'll be able to get from there to Vegas in an hour.
Wow.
On a drive that takes you probably 4 hours?
It's like five. Four. And if you've ever done it on a Sunday coming back, it's like eight. And it's like the worst drive.
Yeah.
It's very boring. You know, and it's the traffic gets bad and all that. But imagine, you know, but imagine living in that. There's a lot of people living in the Inland Empire, too. You just go down there, get on a train. An hour later, you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
And those things can run. It's not just like one train a day. You know, like how sweet would it be? Like you get up at 8 a.m. and get on the train and you're in or let's say 7 a.m. train. You're in the strip at 8 and you're watching college football, betting games all day, and then take the train back that night.
Exactly.
Man, so maybe this is the first step. Yeah. Maybe we'll get a train from Vegas to Denver and then Denver to Seattle and then
or at least
Seattle
the
to Portland.
Part,
and here we go, you know.
Like Dallas to Houston, like Dallas to San Antonio, like those ones where there's nothing. And you're like, okay, I can drive three and a half hours, hope there's not road construction, or I can get on this plane and all that, or I can just do this easy train.
Yeah.
This just seems, again, once you've done it, you just are stunned that our country can't do it.
Right.
Did they ever do the one from Orlando to Miami? Wasn't there supposed to be
that
one?
That one died. Yeah, there was supposed to be one. They were trying San Francisco to L.A. You know, it's just everything in America. And then, you know, it's like there's some rare salamanders living in the way or something.
They're doing one. You know what? They're doing one from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. Or they were supposed to do one from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. There was a big talk about it. I don't know what the update is on that, but that would be a good one. Of course, that's not a very long drive. That's like an hour and 15 minutes or so. But I'm guessing that would turn into like, you know, 20 minutes on the
Like 20 minutes. Yeah. And so they actually said the way to do it is the short bursts. And they're actually doing one in inland California, like Bakersfield to Merced. And it's only 171 miles. So that's like almost a 3 hour drive, depending on traffic. The speed of the train can reach 220. And so you'll be there.
220.
You know,
wow.
Yeah. That's, so you'd be there in less, you know, whatever the heck that's going to be. Yeah. And yeah, you could do all these things. Now, you know, I'm going to see it when I believe it. I don't think our country can pull this off. But they literally say nobody cares about any of this stuff. Like they just passed some gazillion trillion bill. And, you know, it was only like 10% of it was for railroads. And most of them are like, fix the one so chemicals don't tip over and blow up our cities and stuff. Right. Which I think would be the priority for me before, you know, a bunch of drunks get from Vegas to LA quick. But maybe not.
Update on the old New Orleans to Baton Rouge train, which would be wonderful for, like, you know, LSU game days. You know, a lot of people stay in New Orleans. Talk about wonderful to go get the train back and forth. It's moving. This is a November story from WWNO down there in New Orleans. The long-awaited passenger rail is moving forward from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. There's just one holdup, and that holdup is that the tracks between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, surprise, surprise, are not safe and are too rickety for any passenger rail. So first they have to fix the tracks, and the preliminary estimate price tag on fixing the tracks, specifically those around the Bonnie Carey Spillway. If you've ever, you know, driven between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, you drove across the Bonnie Carey Spillway, and the rail bridge next to the Bonnie Carey, like the interstate, is a disaster. I mean, it looks like something that just can collapse upon itself. But the price tag to fix it, $300 million. So something tells me this won't be happening anytime soon.
Yeah, they're flush with cash in Louisiana. So
yes, they are, aren't they?
I would guess that every single rail line and bridge in Louisiana is rickety.
Yeah, that would describe the whole state in general, especially the southern part. The whole southern part of the state is rickety.
Boy, this looks like a sturdy building. No, nothing.
No.
Nothing about Louisiana is anything.
Potholes, collapsing buildings, battle rats. They got it all except the strong infrastructure.
Yeah. Somebody sent us a movie, Baltimore rat movie. Have we watched yet?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
I got to watch. Yeah. The NHL playoffs are getting into my time. But how long is this rat movie?
I don't. I got it emailed to me, but I'm afraid I didn't watch it. I need to. But yeah, Baltimore wants their proper respect as an absolute rat hotbed. So they do not want to be discounted.
Baltimore standing up and be counted. Yeah. Hold on now with your rat talk.
Somebody, we during this rat debate of ours last podcast, I think I revealed where I live in D.C., the neighborhood in which I live, because of the council member who the person running for council had the rat head on the campaign sign, said I'll get rid of the rats if you vote for me. So it kind of revealed which precinct in D.C. in which I live. And I had somebody DM me and was saying that, you know, offered to buy me a drink at the local pub, you know, so that's nice. Might take him up on it. But he did chime in about the rat issue in D.C. in that crazy person who had the massive rat head on the campaign sign, which, really was something.
I'm looking now. I'm reading the reviews of the rat movie. This is a rat film, a feature-length documentary that uses the rat as well as the humans that love them, live with them, and kill them to explore the history of Baltimore.
Good God.
There's never been a rat problem in Baltimore. It's always been a people problem.
Oh, God. Tree-hugging. The rats were here first?
It's one of the most extraordinary visionary inspirations in the recent cinema. One of the most compelling food-for-thought nonfiction movies of the past few years. Remarkable, brilliantly defies categorization.
I don't want to watch a movie that respects the rat. I'm sorry. If you guys watch The Wire, the rat gets you murdered. Your rat in Baltimore... East Baltimore, West Baltimore, Avon Barksdale. It's It's going to take you down. Marlo Stanfield killed all sorts of people just for suspicion of being a rat.
I did have somebody else. This rat discussion really did bring out folks in the woodwork. I know you never know where the college the pod's
going to go.
Nobody
wants to talk about football. It's just
they just want to talk about the rat. But somebody did call me and said, "Yeah, there are a lot of rats in D.C. Most of them are on Capitol Hill."
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
See, that's why we can't get a train.
I have to say, too, that the rat film tipster lives in Israel. So kudos to him for his global view. And also kudos to the podcast for having a listener in Israel.
We appreciate our international listeners. We get the soldiers sometimes, too. That's always good. I find the Israel one would be even funnier, though, because someone would be like, what are you listening to? And it's like, well, I can't even describe this. How do you even describe college football, right?
Right.
Let alone all the other stuff. Yeah. Well, all right. Good day. We needed someone from Munich to buy me beer. If you get a drink, this is the thing. Ross is getting a drink out of this.
Yeah.
Pat's getting this grill.
Yeah.
What am I getting?
Yeah.
What am I getting? Hopefully Rossi flies up in his jet if the feds haven't seized it and come talk to me.
You need to be nicer to people, man.
Yeah, maybe next time. All right, I think we've exhausted the topics. Exhausted the
rats
listenership.
And trains. Yes, we're done.
But the potential future topic. I just got an email about Taco Bell's innovation kitchen. So keep that one on.
Mm. Wow, on
hold. Really?
Yep.
I just saw someone got a Taco Bell gift card the other day. $25 at Taco Bell. I was like, wow, that's a good gift card. How about that?
I'd use that.
Yeah. Remember we said that who is it that had the line that you go to Taco Bell and that you don't know what you're going to order? The menu speaks to you.
Yeah. Jay Arnold.
Jay Arnold. Yes. It's the only fast food place you don't know what you're going to order till you get there.
Right.
Crunchwrap Supreme. I just feeling it. You go to McDonald's, you know what you're going to get.
Yep.
Not the Taco Bell. It is. It's a symphony of something. All right. We'll be back next week. More spring games. More who knows what. Keep subscribing. Yep. Leave us some nice reviews. Someone left a crappy review because I can't pronounce anyone's name. No kidding. You don't have to review that.
We acknowledge that. All right.
That's the whole point.
It's an acknowledged feature of the
show. Pronunciations could be better. Okay. You want good pronunciations? Go listen to another podcast. Talk to you guys later.